Want to rise above what holds you back? These are the stories of those fighting that battle. It might also be the story of you. I'm Dan Waldschmidt, author of Edgy Conversations and strategist of billion-dollar companies all over the world. This is Mark Menard, author of The Story of You, the guy who knows a thing or two about never giving up. You're listening to Elevating Beyond. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Elevating Beyond with a two-word mission statement, change lives. And look, it's always about sharing the story behind the story of what it really takes to go through the struggle to achieve significant success. And speaking of significant, I am here right now with the one and only Nate Peterman. And before we get more into what Nate's doing, and Nate, you're only 22 now. Yep. I'll give you a chance to say what's up in a second. Yeah. You're not allowed to talk yet. No, I'm just joking. But what was I talking about again? No. Nate and I met when he was only 17 years old, which is amazing. He was still in high school. And we're going to talk more about all this. I met you through after Eric Thomas spoke at my company. I got around him more doing stuff, and then I saw you in his BU group.
Yep.
And they had me guest in there for a month, actually. Like, they were doing something. He came to my company and spoke, and then as a business owner and stuff too, they're like, you can jump in for a month. And I was able to check it out and connect with some awesome people. I love that you're only 17 and already paying to learn, doing stuff. I just couldn't believe it. And we've stayed in touch. And now, not only are you here in studio, your car is packed up. You're on your way out to LA. And we're going to share all of how that came about. But first of all, how are you doing, my good man?
I'm doing great, brother. I appreciate you having me here at your the studio. Definitely blessed and grateful. And yeah, man, I'm excited to get to LA, though. I'll tell you that.
I'm sure. You have a little bit of a drive ahead of you. But it's an honor. And so over the years, and this is what I love about the show, like the variety of guests, even like next week, for Ken, you're welcome. Double promo, but next week's guest, Ken Coleman, of author of The Proximity Principle, who he runs all of Dave Ramsey's stuff and so much more. But the reason I'm bringing his book up is Proximity Principle gets so into investing and getting the right people in your life at different levels, which kind of leads us to what you're doing out in LA. But even at age 17, before we get into some of the different parts of your journey and your jobs and what led you to the business that you have now, what at age 17, for everyone listening, because I know where I was at age 17, made it different for you compared to everyone else around you that's out partying, that's out doing all, to say, I'm going to be investing and being involved in a group like, it was basically at that time almost like a mastermind group that Eric Thomas had. If people watching don't know who Eric Thomas is, he was on like 7 shows ago with his amazing mom and speaker around the world. Just look him up. E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher. Just one of the biggest speakers in the world now. Like, literally. Super great. But at age 17, you're involved in that group, you're paying money, it's not cheap. Mm-mm. That would be the cost of like college classes, and a lot of people would be like, that's a car payment. So like, how, just explain that, like, what, where did that come from? Was that all your own initiative? Was that from parenting? Like, what brought you there at that age?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, with me being 17 years old and investing into a personal development university, that wasn't something ideal, especially being where I'm from. I like to call it, you know, Amish or Mennoniteville, you know, because every single day.
That's Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, right?
Right around there, yep. originally from Chambersburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's even further out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's more in the neck of the woods.
Seabird.
But literally every single day, you know, Passion Mennonites and Amish, and it's crazy. So being from a small town where I'm from and nobody really, you know, makes a name for themselves, you know, people either live there, they're retired, they work warehouse jobs, or they're, you know, working out at like a gas station or something, or they're going to college and they just come back and they're not doing anything.
Huh.
Very progressing with their life. So whenever I was actually around 15, 16 years old, that was a big monumental moment in my life, Mark, because that was the year that my parents got divorced.
Oh.
And for me, that was tough because growing up, you know, you have a lot of kids, you know, if their parents got divorced, it was like in elementary school or
that's
in like middle school.
It's never could be easy ever, but that's, you're already dealing with so much transitional high school and all that. And then that, the parents getting a divorce.
Yeah.
So was there a lot of fighting going on prior to that? Was it built up for a while? Like, did you see it coming? Were you, a lot of stuff, you know what I mean? Sometimes people will be caught, kids, or you see what you see, you know what you know. Did you have any idea or like that it was coming or?
Honestly, I never, the reason it was so hard for me is because I never thought it would happen. You
gotcha.
Know? Like, I always thought, because again, I had friends that their parents were divorced, and I was like, wow, that's crazy. Like, there's no way that could happen. You
know? Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
But then it happened, and I mean, there was times where, you know, there was arguments. I mean, nothing.
And every marriage has, believe me, 13
oh,
years, every marriage has that.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like one of those things where, you know, you hear a story of, yeah, you know, somebody was beating somebody else, like nothing like
yeah,
that
yeah,
at all.
Yeah.
Like if my parents saw each other today, I mean, they'd of course acknowledge each other. It's
yeah.
not one of those things where it's like, you know, who's her, who's he anymore, you know?
Yeah.
But again, that was a big monumental point in my life because I was 15, 16 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, that's
know?
Crushing.
And going through that whenever I'm in high school, it's
so
tough.
How do they tell, was it like, did they tell you, okay, we're going to be getting a divorce? And were you involved in like who you stay with, when, where in that process? Or was it kind of like you'll be with mom this amount? Like, how did that get presented to you?
That's a good question, Mark. It's whenever because I was staying at my mother's place, and my dad, very respectful man. He's very independent.
Mm-hmm.
So he had no problem with, you know, going to get his own apartment,
yeah,
you know, and things like that. So of course, with me still being in school at the time, and financial situations with my mother being in a better place,
yeah,
compared to my dad leaving and pretty much just, you know, not having much to work with,
yeah,
you know? Having two jobs, you know, mother and father, over the years, you know, it took care of decent things. You know, I didn't come from like a high class or, you know, rich family. I came from like a normal middle class family.
Yeah.
So whenever they split, my dad kind of got into a hole.
Yes.
And my mom, who I stayed with, was in a better position. And
okay.
They did tell me like, hey, you know, things are pretty much gonna end and everything. My dad was more so the one that told me that.
Mm.
And it was tough, you know. It's still tough. You know, sometimes thinking about it, but
yeah,
I realized at a young age, Mark, that with me going through that at that age, it led me to somebody like Eric Thomas.
Oh,
E.T.,
man.
You know?
So you started like watching his stuff on probably YouTube?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, you're down in the dumps some days, you know?
Yes.
You don't know where to go to. Most people, they go to drugs, smoking weed. You know, they'll go to Little Debbie eating junk food and
yeah,
all this other
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like me, I went to motivation.
Oh, that's cool.
You know? Like, I went straight up YouTube, motivational video. One of the first ones that popped up, Giovanni Rapin.
Yes, you know? I've had him on the show.
Exactly. So,
if you guys haven't seen, just so you know, if you haven't seen that, I mean, just go to YouTube, type in Eric Thomas Giovanni, or Eric Thomas the Guru story, probably anything. That's the first one I saw. I mean, now it has probably like 100 million plus downloads, at least.
Yeah, it's up there. Definitely.
But it's still cool. And that was so, that there's a whole, that'd be a horror show, but just the story behind the story of how they did that, but people think that just overnight, it's just so, but so you watch that, which that was the first one that I, someone showed me that when I was at Entree Leadership, and I had never really watched a motivational, and I'm like, this is freaking cool. Who is this guy?
Yeah, because the speaker, I thought, Mark, was Giovanni.
Yeah, because you can't see Eric Thomas. Yeah, Giovanni's all ripped and working out. Right. And then you hear that, and it's just like with the music, it was all so cool. And then I'm just like, what? And then I found out, like, is Eric, then I, the first time I saw, I remember I went through, and I was like, I'm watching every freaking, then I heard about his TGIM, thank God it's, and I'm,
Yeah, it's it was
that's
inspiring.
I love to, I think that's so powerful to know that that was something that helped you at a phase in your life, because like, you know, when he's going through his struggles, and I know he knows you now, now you're connected even more, but him like, no, that's that what literally was his why to be doing that before he was getting paid $100,000 to speak. He put thousands of, we all know that. Yeah. But so you started watching those.
Yep. Yeah, I started watching those, and I guess just to kind of go off of that, Mark, the main thing that really I think stood out to me the most, it wasn't, you know, E.T. didn't, Eric Thomas didn't just start a university and I got in years later. I was one of the first ones in Breathe University.
Oh.
So whenever I got in, there was like 15 members.
Okay.
So today there's like, I think 3,000-4,000 maybe.
I don't, probably.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Like, it's grown.
And it's probably not, I mean, he's had to build a business over, I remember when we met, there's so many levels to a business. I had built more of a business over time than he had, but he had built so much as a public figure. The way God works, he was needing to learn more about that, and I was needing to learn more about the other side of it, and we connected more there too. Wow. When you got in, but still you're 17 and it's not free.
No.
And then did you pitch it? So then you found out they had like a class like that you could join. So did you have a job, or did you talk to mom like, hey, this is something I want to be a part of? Like, how did that go? Because I would imagine a parent be like, what, $300? I don't know what the cost was at that time.
Absolutely.
And like $200 a month, $300, whatever it was.
No, you hit it right there, $300 a month.
Like,
and that's the thing, this is the stuff that people don't hear about, is the investing that personally, like I've done.
At 17?
17 years old, I was working at McDonald's. Yeah, and to be honest, like, the amount of time I worked in like 2 weeks, I made anywhere from like, you know, $250, $300 on a good 2 weeks.
If even after tax.
Exactly.
My first job was at Taco Bell,
This was being in school too.
Yeah.
So I'm over here like, and I didn't, you know, I graduated, of course, I was like a BC student, but, you know, this is me investing like a single paycheck every single month into a course, an online university.
So you paid for it?
I paid for it.
Oh man, I love that.
I've had no help with what we're going to talk about here today. I've had no help with. No help. And I want to make that clear, because I feel as if whenever somebody sees somebody that's younger growing up and they're like 22, 20, even late teens, and they're, you know, they're successful at least to a point, a lot of people assume that they've been helped by mommy and daddy. And that's not always the thing, if that makes sense.
Well, not always it makes sense. It removes the freaking excuses.
Yeah.
Which people need to hear at any level that they're at is, it's really how bad do you want it? Do what it takes with what you have. You're 17, you're in high school, putting everything into it. Every possible thing. That could be a lot of spending money, there could have been so much you wanted to do. You're investing it all. It doesn't happen by coincidence. There's no 3 million plus listeners, downloads, 180 or 100 and plus thousand just from the last show, over 12 days just on iTunes. I'm very picky about people that I have in the studio, and there's a reason why you're sitting here right now, and it starts off by, you're only 22, And it's not about, I don't care if people that faint. And it's like, you started investing and working your butt off at age 17 and paying your way to start doing something that most people, you can't really even explain it to in your probably whole city.
Most.
And they'd be like, what? Why aren't you putting that in a college savings? Why aren't you? But you still kept doing it. So then where does that take you? Like, let's move forward to now you're graduating.
Yeah.
And did also that help you connect with some other people, like even during that times of the divorce? Did you feel that you got closer to other people there first, or did you have like close friends in high school still too that you felt like you could connect with? I'm just out of my own curiosity.
Yeah, absolutely. I could never connect with anybody deep in high school.
Really?
Absolutely nobody.
Really?
The first book I picked up was, you have it on your bookshelf, E.T.'s Secrets of Success.
Mm.
And then Greatness is Upon You, the journal. And I kid you not, Mark, I used to take that to school with me every single day.
Wow.
And with me taking that every single day, I had kids come up to me and they're like, what's this? I was like, it's Eric Thomas' motivational book, teaches you how to be successful, all this other great stuff. And they're like, why are you reading this? I'm like, because I want to succeed in life. And and this was like the jocks in school.
Yeah.
Because I used to do some videos back in the day too, 16, 17 years old. And I got criticized so much, not just from the videos that I made because it was different, but just because I was bringing that stuff because nobody believed in that.
You know, I'm so happy you shared that because, and we'll have all your links on here to the book that you have coming out, to the business that you're running, to social media, to Instagram, where you've grown a huge platform. And that's really engaged too. Like before I was even on there, I was seeing stuff that you were doing and stuff. And it takes guts to already be established and get on stuff. I know people that have asked me that have Fortune 500 companies that are terrified to do, everyone goes through that, of doing a video or a clip and wanted to be in high school where you're already, it's like so amplified of what's everyone, and to start getting on there. And I encourage more people to not let that stop them either, because you still got on there and you started doing something.
Absolutely.
You started, and it's like, okay, that could have been, I got criticized, but the more you do, it kind of starts to then become more normal, right? Would you say?
Yeah, and to address your question, Mark.
Oh yeah, I've got to ask a question.
After, no, you good. After I graduated high school, this is a bold move that I did. Because I didn't hang around like a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
I was more so the kid in school that was like more so towards the back of the class, classroom. I didn't ask questions. I was very shy, even growing up, very introverted.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And even going through school, you know, with these people criticizing me, once I graduated, I cut all of my friends off.
Yeah.
The people that were friends.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because here's the thing. I was going through the system, and the people that I used to hang around, I realized through like my junior and senior year, like these guys aren't on the same wavelength. But I had to kind of, because I didn't just want to, you know, cause problems in school.
Yeah, it's almost like there's seasons for everything, and it's almost different levels of adaptability and surviving.
Absolutely.
And it's like I have to. It's and when people say this, like about cutting people out and all that, some people they can take that the wrong way and think it means, oh, I'm successful and I'm better than it. It's not true. It's, you've got to realize people that aren't support, like you're supporting them and they're supporting you, and you have similar, like it can be totally different journeys, but like similar mindsets. Then that's a relationship that goes both ways, where they're like, I get you're doing the video stuff. That's cool. It's keep pushing that. That's who you are. Like, that's a, then that would be someone, and they may be doing something different, but you could still connect. But other people that it's like, not only do you not relate to them, but a lot of what you're doing would actually be like dragging you away from where you want to go. So it's almost like that. I know it's said all the time, but I always like to help like break that down to people to understand, because you could have some people that you are connected with that are on the same mission or something. But if you, and I had to cut them out of my life after jail and stuff too.
Absolutely.
That were like, you're going to go to college, like you sell out, you think you're better. So it's like, you got to do, but it's not always as easy, but you realized, okay, at this young of an age, I got to start. It's not worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, most people went to college after high school.
Yeah.
I went to my first ever ET conference after high school.
Yes, you know? which isn't free either.
No.
You got to travel and you got to pay.
I drove 8 hours with a buddy of mine I've known since second grade, and he's not even into that stuff, but I just wanted to live with somebody. Driving to Hartford, Connecticut from Pennsylvania. It was like an 8-hour drive, and I didn't even sleep the night before because I was just so excited. I'm going to see ET, ET, ET. And I went to that conference, and I didn't start BU until after that conference. That's when I committed.
Gotcha.
And at the time, I was working at McDonald's. And after I left that conference, I quit McDonald's the day after.
Really?
I quit McDonald's, and I enrolled in Breed University. And I was like, you know what? I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm working at McDonald's. I mean, come on. Like, it was paying the bills and everything. And no disrespect for people that do work there, but.
Well, no, but there's, yeah. I worked at Taco Bell where I never knew. Do what you have to do to get where you need to go, but don't let it keep you there forever. It's like you realize, okay, I've got enough, I can do more now. Exactly. But also never think that some people think with this mindset, I should immediately have an upper level. It's like, no, you shouldn't. You should actually work a bunch of crappy jobs and keep finding better ones.
That's
and work
so
your butt
true.
Off while you're there, right? But I get it, that got you to think, I'm done this enough, I'm around more, I can be doing something else.
Absolutely.
But then you had to pay for it. Were you the youngest person there at that conference?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Like by far, I bet a lot of people in their 30s and stuff.
Absolutely.
Did they notice that? Was it, was probably smaller? Was ET and CJ stuff there? Were they like, dude, I bet they were impressed.
Right, I mean, the first conference, you know, I didn't have like that personal connection with them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the second conference, and once I was in Breed University, because again, with me being the youngest, for content purposes, they wanted to get that. Right?
Oh.
Nate the Great, Nate the Young Cub.
They're like, we need a white guy to fit our, no, I'm just joking. We gotta get the white demographic.
Right.
ET, you know I'm joking. It's true. No.
Yeah, no, but I was.
But no, I get it.
Yeah.
But they did, it is though, because, but in all honesty, when you're doing, and so I interrupt all the time, I know you know that.
No, you're good.
But you make good points. It makes me think of the bigger picture. In all honesty, it's smart to target that, because think how many other, literally 0.5% of the people that are in there at that age that don't know about something like that, that it's really going to help. So it's like, if we could get them to understand that someone like Nate is doing this at this age, there could be other kids out there that don't have a clue. So it's being done for the right marketing reasons, of course, also.
Absolutely.
But you mentioned the next word, which is key, relationships.
Yeah.
Because there's one thing to go and see and watch the videos and be like a fan, which is great, but then there's another level of starting to build those relationships. And so how did you get from there to then start building the relationships?
That's a great question. So with me going to another one of E's events, I was in Arizona actually.
Okay.
And of course, that was my first time on the West Coast.
Oh, wow.
So my mom came with me.
Really?
Yeah, my mom came with me.
That's
cool.
Which
was the cool part. So we're out there, you know, in the desert.